you got trouble, keeping yourself from eating too much, get in a secret place. I found myself in the past few weeks, I wasn't trying to do it, just kind of happened. I look at the end of the day and all I had was some popcorn and some chips. That's it. And I wasn't even really that hungry. Then another day come by, I just barely had some food because I was so busy. My mind was so focused on the next thing that I should do, where I could remember, I used to just think about food all the time. It's just, man, it's so good and it's just delicious. And now it's nothing to me. Stuff would die in his presence. You don't have to, okay, Lord, I say that. You don't have to fight the problem. This is how you fight the problem. Fight it like Esther did. When what's his name? The Amalekite. What is his name? Well, Esther? Haman. Yes, thank you. Fight it like Esther did Haman. She didn't fight Haman. She just had passion and pursued the king. And when the king found out what Haman had done, his wrath was stirred. Isn't that in scripture? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. The Lord will fight for you. He'll fight for you in Exodus. It goes on to say, I think it's Exodus 14:14. I think that's where it is. Goes on to say, tells us not to fear. You know, the in that story, there was an army behind them, and there was a sea in front of them. They were stuck in the middle. And God told them, not fear not. He told them to go forward, move forward. And God delivered them out of that situation. He fought for them. And if you can get in his presence, God will fight for you. There's another thing, story about his presence, where David was wanting to move the Ark of the Covenant from one place to another, and you know, and the ark rocked and Uzzah touched and he died. So he dropped the ark off at Obed-Edom's house. And the Bible says that everything that Obed-Edom had prospered. You'll find that when you get in his presence, everything around you just start prospering. You start succeeding. You start expanding. Your life starts changing, and you didn't do anything different but get in his presence and abide in the secret place. You didn't do anything different but start spending more and more time getting your mind filled. I want to say it like this, and I'm cautious how I say it, so bear with me. A shout of praise without a time in his presence, it's almost empty. You can jump and dance and move around and spin, but no power is really being released if you ain't in his presence. There's some time you need to spend alone with him. Get alone with him. You can shape a nation if you can get alone. Think about John the Baptist. One man spoke to his generation and shook the people around him. Get quiet before him. Psalms 23, the Bible said he leads you beside still waters. Quiet places. He restores your soul. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. This is where you get it fixed. This is where you heal right now. This is where you get strengthened right now. This is where God starts mentoring you. Okay, Lord. Okay. This is where God starts healing you. Did I finish? This is the generation of them that seek him. This basically means it's going to cost you something to acquire this. This basically means you're going to have to search until you find. I got in my notes, it's got so many, it take a while to find it, so I'll just quote this portion. Kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a man who finds a great pearl. And when he finds it, he hides it, and he goes sell everything he has to buy that land. This anointing is so precious that it is vastly worth your most arduous effort to acquire it. That if it costs you everything, if you don't go to no Friday night football games no more, it's worth it. If you don't hang out with your friends for a year or so, it's worth it. I'm not saying that's what you got to give up. I can't define what you got to give up. But it's in Psalm 63. We'll stay right here. Give me a moment. In Psalm 63, it says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and weary land where no water is. So have I looked upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." We got to have a longing for him if we want to see more power and more glory. I desire in my heart to see more power and more glory manifested in my life. And if you're going to conquer anything, it's necessary that you get in the secret place and abide there for many days. Next verse. Verse 7. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Okay, let's talk about this. Lifting up your head is like turning your attention and focusing on what God has promised. It says, "Lift up your head, O you gates." Go back one. Verse 7. One more. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors." Get your mind focused on this word and give God the opportunity to build you up so that you can receive from him. Because what if the word of the Lord today, this is hypothetical, okay? That in 10 minutes, God is going to give you $10 million. If your heart and mind was not prepared and received, it'll just blow right over you. But what if you spent time in your secret place, preparing yourself to receive from him? See, sometimes God... I'll do that. Okay. If God wants to set somebody free, the Bible says that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all destruction. What did he use to get in response to your crisis? He's going to send his word. You got a crisis in your life, expect God to send forth his word. But when you receive, whether it's through a person or in your private time or however it comes, when you receive a word from God, you just don't go sit down, watch TV and wait for it to come to pass. You take it into your secret place and allow God to expound upon it. Allow God to elaborate upon it. Allow God to show you more light and more revelation and more insight, to give you detailed information of what he wants you to do.